Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Towards the end of last week, it was a bit of a circus here at the radio station.
A bit of a manhunt, you could say.
Yes, we heard of on Thursday a man from Geelong West by the name of Vince who was in the newspaper because his tomatoes were so big. Over 1 kilo was one of them. We tried to track him down, failed day one. Day two, Jess, we finally got him on the phone.
Yes, so many people rang in or rang Vince himself to try and get him in touch with us.
And the person we ended up getting a hold of was Greg, his brother-in-law, who was in the car with him. They've joined us in the studio today after a bit of a weekend. You dropped off your wives at Pink and you went to Crown Casino, so we appreciate you coming in. Greg, thank you very much for helping us track down your brother-in-law, Vince.
No problem.
Now, Vince, Leone? Is that Leone? Okay, I'm leaning too far into it. Now, Vince, your tomatoes were so big that they made the newspaper in the Addy. How did the newspaper find out about your tomatoes?
Did you contact them, or were they just seeking out the big tomatoes of the region?
I decided to seek them, and I went to Ryrie Street. Little to my knowledge, they're not there no more.
That does make it tough. But that was so big that you went to the Addy and said, you've got to see my tomatoes.
Yes.
Stunning. A man knows his fruit and veg. We've learned a lot about yourself, Vince, and Greg, your brother-in-law, over the last couple of days. And we literally, all what you've brought in for us can only be described as monstrous in the best ways,
yeah.
Jess.
They've actually brought in the tomatoes. Not the tomato that made the paper. I think that one's been eaten, right, boys?
Yes.
But so your tomatoes that you've grown, Greg, I might ask you this because you were telling us a little bit before we came on air. These are generational tomatoes.
Yes, they are. They come from the days when my father first migrated to Australia.
And now I feel like we can get it, like, because you can't commit crime, you can't, like, get in trouble for things in the 60s, right?
Well, your family always live in Geelong? Have they always been here?
No, I'm originally from Melbourne.
Okay.
Mum and dad are in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the 60s, you come over from Sicily?
Early 60s,
from Calabrese, yeah. Vince, for yourself. And so your wives are sisters, correct? So this is, and has this marriage created the best tomatoes Geelong's ever seen? Is this how it's kind of got there?
Well, obviously, yeah.
We've been very lucky because you've also brought in some of your I mean, they're no kilo.
No, but they are bigger than you'd find at Coles.
Well, if people are listening, because the reason we wanted to get you on the show, Vince, and Greg, we've got to learn a lot about you as well, is just to grow tomatoes that are a kilo, that not anyone can do it. And like, quickly, how do you get tomatoes to be 1 kilo weight?
You were giving us some tips off the air.
Well, the seeds for start. Got to have the right seed.
And the seeds are generational, is Greg, is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Which originally come from Sicily through Greg's dad.
Through Greg's dad. And then, so is this, like, do your sisters even like each other, or Vince, did you just, was it just for the seeds for you?
No, they get along just fine.
Okay. And then you said there's a little secret ingredient that's not, I mean, the most appetizing.
Oh, no.
But it's chicken poo. That's the secret, right?
Greg, right. Tell us about the secret.
The juice of it, yeah, of the chicken poo. You add water to the chicken poo.
Correct.
You stir it and you give them the drink, not the actual product.
Not the actual poo.
Yeah, you leave the poo for a little bit later on. And Greg, you swear by this, by fermenting the water in the chicken poo?
Correct. You put it in a drum, you put the chicken poo in the drum, fill it up with water, let it settle, let it ferment, stir it up, leave it for about a week while it ferments. And then use the water out of that to water your tomatoes.
Just its own fertilizer, Jess. Incredible.
I'm blown away, Tim. We'll put some pictures up on our stories of these tomatoes.
Carrock Geelong.
They are huge, like
massive, massive tomatoes is what we've been calling them. And now,
you've got your sourcing day very soon, Vince.
Yes.
So, how many family members get together and still make the sauce every year?
Probably 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Because it's something like, and we might even get into it a little bit up next after the boys have left, Jess. I think you should teach us all about a sourcing day.
Yeah.
Because I think
have you ever done one, too?
I've never done it. I'm the whitest man in the room.
Yeah, no, that's
I've
fair.
Never
that
done a
fair.
Sourcing day, unfortunately. but Greg, Vince, we just wanted to say thank you for coming by. I know that it's been a journey. I know, you know, you're out at Crown and you're on a big win and some guys from the radio are calling you saying, hey, we need to come on the show. So we appreciate you coming into the studio this afternoon.
This is Tim and Jess.
Yesterday, my wife and I took our six-month-old son, Jack. We went to Werribee Zoo for the first time.
Cute.
Now, my wife had never been. I'd been there as a child myself.
Very different experience as an adult. I feel like it's very tailored to children.
As soon as I walked in, it was kind of like little flashes of memory, but I couldn't have been older than 5 or 6. So I don't remember it too well, but we thought, look, we knew it was going to be warm, but we were like, I think like, we were catching up with some friends. We want to go to Werribee Zoo. They have a baby as well around the same age. We were like, this will be a fun family day.
Yeah.
And it was. So we got there early. You know, if you've been to Werribee Zoo, there's plenty of different things you can do. Your mind melts at the animals that you're seeing because at the end of the day, there's a rhino in Werribee.
Yep.
There's a giraffe.
There's a pack of giraffes.
In Werribee. It's just next to the highway. Yeah. There's a McDonald's 4 kilometres up the road, but there's a hippo in Werribee. It kept circling back to me that we're, like, always, it's the same with, like, any zoo. You go, all right, there's a suburb, an affluent suburb in Melbourne. There's an elephant. I always find it very interesting. And so we went and, like, we're looking at all the animals and they've got incredible things. They got, like, the silverbacks they were cruising around, some of the lions, some of the cheetahs, some of these other things. And you can get on one of those buses that does the safari tour, which is, like, that's their whole selling point, right? Now, you've been on it recently. So can you, like, for people that might not have been on it?
So it's essentially, like, they cram about, we'd say 30, 40 people on this bus.
Each trailer as well.
Yes.
Yeah, there's plenty.
And it's, like, full, like, 4 trailers all attached to one another. Everyone parks their prams up on the side.
Yeah, there was more prams than cars.
So many prams. And then they take you through the different, sections.
Yeah.
So it's essentially all of Werribee, it's an open range zoo. So all of the animals are kind of out and
there's
about.
Cruising around.
So you just never know which animals you're going to see.
So what I found really exciting, obviously like the rhinoceros and the giraffe and those kind of things, you go, wow, like these are real and these are here.
Yeah.
And they were also saying that the elephants that are currently at the Melbourne Zoo, next year, probably this time, they're going to be at Werribee Zoo.
Oh.
And the enclosure, get this right. This is like, you know this, because it was the person's driving, they're like, they're on the microphone, they're giving out all the information. They're like, oh, yeah, the entire enclosure is going to be bigger than the Melbourne Zoo itself.
What?
Because, like, have you ever been to the Melbourne Zoo? I've been like, that's tight for
it. It is very small in there, yeah.
And so I'm taking this all in. My wife's there. My son's sitting on my lap again. He's only 6, 7 months old, and he's just, I assume he's just looking around. Like, he's not old enough for him to be like, wow, look at all these things.
He doesn't know what these things are.
They're just shapes. Yeah. They're just movies. And I'm like, look at this, and I'm pointing, and I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to, like, keep him engaged. And my wife's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just showing him the rhinoceros. There's only 70-something left in the world. Like, what do you mean? Of course I'm going to show. She's like, oh, no, honey. He's been asleep since about 2 minutes after we took off. And I didn't, because he's sitting there with a hat on and he's sitting on my lap. I had no idea. And she took all these photos. And, like, I'm pointing and I'm doing these things.
Oh,
and
my God.
And I said to you, it was like, this is the first time my son's fallen asleep on me like that. Like, obviously, like, cuddling him and all those kind of things. But where...
You're out and about.
Yeah, out and about, whatever, and he's just a tired little boy and he's fallen asleep. And I was like, look, I get you're a baby.
It's a big day.
But look around you, baby. Yeah. Look around you at some of these things that people will never see in their entire lives.
Do you know
lives.
What I love? Did you go near the hippos?
Yeah, the hippos are great.
Yeah, so there's like the water kind of play section near the hippos. So
hilarious.
All these kids, instead of looking at the beautiful hippos that are like right there, they can go right up to them.
There's like a statue hippo that has water come out its bum.
And they just, they're like, loving life.
What I thought though, because again, my son's only 6 months old. So this isn't something that is as significant maybe as he gets older. But kids falling asleep in different places. I imagine, Jess, this is something that this was a superpower.
I did this all the time.
As an adult. And like, as a parent, right, carrying your sleeping child from the car or from wherever you are, that's the dream, right?
Mum used to set a bed up for me in like the back of the station wagon when we'd go and watch my brother play cricket or football, whatever sport
cricket,
he was playing.
I understand.
And I would have a little nap in the back of the station wagon while we waited for him to finish.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. What did your kid fall asleep through?
Mm-hmm.
Rhiannon from Armstrong Creek. Where did your child fall asleep?
Hi. So my child fell asleep on the flight to the Sunshine Coast. sorry, after the flight. He screamed the entire flight up there and then fell asleep just as we were getting off, and I had to carry him sleeping off the plane.
Because this is the thing you hear about going on a plane for the first time as a parent. Can you get through the flight?
This is a tactic I used to use, Rhiannon, like as I was a kid. I knew we were just about to pull in at home.
Oh, yeah.
You pretend you're asleep so dad can carry you inside. I don't want to have to walk up the stairs. I've only got little legs. Yes.
So, Rhiannon...
I don't know if my son's that calculating, but I hope not.
Because, Rhiannon, I imagine like the stress and the anxiety leading up to the flight being like, I hope it goes well, and then if he's upset and he's screaming the whole time, and then as you're landing, he starts to go to the land of Nod. That's a whole...
And you're super aware at that point how awful it's been for everybody else on the flight. You can't help what your son does, but you just feel bad for everyone else.
Rhiannon, as someone who doesn't have children yet, I can tell you I probably wouldn't have even noticed if he was screaming. Noise-cancelling headphones are your best friend on those flights.
Jess would have been sleeping and her fiancé would have been carrying her off the stairs just like you and your son, Rhiannon. So appreciate you giving us a call. That'd be defeating, right?
Yeah. Well, you're about to go Sunny Coast in a couple of weeks. How do you think that's going to go?
I mean, it sounds like he'll be lighter to carry off the plane than Rhiannon's son, but yeah, I can understand.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, I fear that I may be a little bit of the worst.
How do I answer this? Why specifically do you think you're a little bit of the worst?
I received a message on Friday night that had me questioning what I talk about on this very radio show.
Because you are a celebrity.
I know.
You are?
No.
Jess, say Tim and Jess as individuals get recognised 10 times on the street. What's the split? 10-0, you're right.
Yeah, I was going to go 9-1.
It's 10-0.
Yeah, no.
Your laugh is your calling card.
That's it.
It's like Batman's bat signal in the sky.
Yeah, we went to the movies together a few months ago and you heard someone go, isn't that the lady from the radio? Because I was laughing really bad.
So lovely to see.
No one ever says Jess, it's the lady from the radio.
Yeah,
but I went to a cafe on Friday afternoon. Friday morning, sorry. And then Friday afternoon, I casually mentioned to you on the air that I felt like something illegal had happened because this cafe in question had given me my iced latte in a hot coffee cup.
Well, I feel like you weren't even really talking about a cafe in particular. I was saying that I got caught out as a non-coffee drinker at a cafe.
Yeah.
And I was like ashamed. I was like, you found out my dirty little secret that I just buy coffees for my wife and I take them home. And you were just saying like off the cuff. Like it wasn't even like,
no.
It was a conversation that I was having. And you said, oh, yeah, it was a crime. They put your cold brew. Was it a cold brew coffee?
It was an iced latte.
Iced latte. So what was the problem with it?
It was in one of those hot coffee cups. So you sip.
Like a mug?
No, like, you know when you would get your wife's or you'd use a keep cup. But it's like that.
Okay. Oh, so like it's the reusable. Not the reusable. Like it's the wax sealed.
The paper ones.
Yeah.
Yes. And whereas I prefer my iced latte from like a clear
A giant plastic
cup
boy.
With a straw, you know? So anyway, I mentioned it in passing that I'm, you know, that was a criminal act. And I received a message on my private Instagram on Friday night after the show. Very lovely message from the cafe owner.
Great.
Because we had had a conversation that morning at the cafe.
Because she recognized you from your laugh.
And I said, you know, I love this place. It's such a beautiful location. You know, what an amazing cafe. And I was saying all these lovely things that I genuinely believe to her face.
And you got recognized in front of your brother as well. He would have had a field day with
he
it. That
loved
was a gift,
it.
Right?
Oh, my God. He had told the whole family. He was like, I think Jess might actually be famous.
In Geelong, maybe, but calm down.
I don't even think in Geelong. But so she reached out to me specifically and said, hey, I just heard about my crime. Just wanted to see what cup would you prefer to drink out of?
No.
I've been so embarrassed in my life, Tim. I was so embarrassed. I'm like, oh no. My off-the-cuff comment.
She's restructuring her business.
She sent me cup options, Tim. Yes. Would you prefer this one? Like, please let me know if there's anything we can work on. I'd love to hear it.
If you're a business owner across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine, I wouldn't use Jess as your base model of customer.
How very dare you?
Honey, can we not have this dance right
now?
Well,
this is what I said to her. I said, you're not the only cafe in Geelong to commit this crime. Like, I've had several.
The rest of you lot, you're on watch too. If you're owning a cafe and you serve my girl, our queen, the princess of Geelong, an iced latte in anything other than a clear big cup so I can see it when I swish it around and makes that fun sound. And I don't want to see it. And you should shut your business. From Jess to you.
I'm very much appreciate this beautiful business owner going out of her way
right.
to buy cups. But I'm so embarrassed to go back to that cafe.
No, Jess, you know what? You're right. We should put up a section at krock.com.au outlining and naming and shaming all the cafes that use the wrong cup selections
or
for their iced lattes.
On the other flip side of things, if there you would like your business to be, audited, as
right.
as it were.
Cup audited.
I'm happy to come and check out your cups.
Yep. Geelong's biggest-ish celebrity ranking your cups in your cafe.
Happy
there
to
you
do
go.
So.
It's a business. It's a strange business model, but it's a business nonetheless.
I can go back to that cafe though, right? Like, or can I never go
well,
back?
Well, I assume you bought them outright. And you, so
it's yeah, mine now.
I guess yes. you can go. This is Tim and Jess. Quick question. When you left high school, Jess, how long before you moved out of home?
I was 24.
24.
When I moved out.
So 6 years between finishing school.
Yeah.
Enough for you to like get a job, mm-hmm. go to university, whatever, before you moved out of home,
yeah.
right? At any point in those 6 years, were you charged board by your family or charged
no.
rent?
No, my mum probably would have paid me to stay. She never wanted any of us to leave home.
So it wasn't anything about like teaching you. All right, here's what's going to happen when you move out, whether it's renting, whether it's buying. There's going to be cost of livings that you haven't
I knew it
expected.
Was coming. They didn't have to teach me that.
The cushion just got larger and larger
yeah.
until the inevitability
yeah.
of having to go out on your own and being like, gosh, this is
But like, even when I moved
game.
Out, like I would still take my like laundry home to mum most weekends.
You lived interstate, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You can't take fruits across borderline or laundry.
No.
You know, state governments aren't on that, Jess. Because on TikTok, there's a woman on TikTok at the moment, and people are questioning her parenting techniques, which is never ask for anyone's opinion. We talk about this a lot. If you're going to go on TikTok and say, hey, here's something that I do with my family, what do you think on it?
Yeah.
That you ask, you let
don't ask for opinions.
You let people in. That's your fault. So she has three kids who are aged 6, 7, and 9. She charges them rent.
Oh.
So they get an allowance every week of $6 each. $1 of those is taken to go towards rent, $1 for groceries, and $1 for utility. So
and then $3 to play.
Yep. So kind of teaching them, hey, here's 100% of your money, but yeah. I will take 50% of that on your on your cost of living.
I had a friend who did this, her parents did this to her in school. I remember she started getting charged board when she was like
14 and 9 months or something.
I think she got her first job and then they were like, okay, cool. So it's actually $50 a week. And they put it all aside for her. They didn't tell her this, obviously. But then on her 21st birthday, they gave her all the money.
If only that's how your landlords
right?
did it. At the end of the day, like, hey, we know you've been paying rent for 3 years. We've actually been putting it off to the side in a nice little high interest account for you. But no, I never got to that point. I think I moved out so soon after going after leaving school that my parents, I was probably getting to the point where they're like, you need to get off your ass and do something. But I kind of like it because I remember when I got my first paycheck after my first real job and I was like, in my head, I was like, all right, I'm getting paid like, I don't know, $20 an hour.
Yeah.
I work 10 hours, whatever it was. I'm going to get $200. And then I get like the money and I go, well, hang on here, there's something.
Tax.
Man, what's this? What's this tax thing? I remember vividly, I remember walking into the family home and going, why didn't anyone tell me about tax? And I was very quickly met with, that was school's job and clearly.
Do you think this is something you're going to do with young Jack?
I mean, he's 6 months old. He should be really.
He should be starting to pay board.
Paying. At the moment, when I give him one spoon of apple, I'll have the next spoon. I go, well, there's 50%. There's your tax, mate.
Do they still do dolomites at school?
As a 31-year-old, I don't know.
Because Dolomites is how I learn about the bank.
We didn't do Dolomites specifically at Ask, but we did a version of it. But I feel like taxing kids is maybe the way to go.
Yeah.
I think this is it. This is a good way to move forward. I think if you've got a freeloader, I don't care how old they are, I think you need to show them 50% is not theirs.
I can't wait for Jack to be old enough to, first of all, talk.
Yeah, that'll be great.
So he can just be like, get stuff, Dad.
Yeah, that'll be. And that's what parenting's all about. Tim and Jess, the podcast. I'll be honest, really exciting news that I'm excited to share. Yesterday, I became a parent.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you already were a parent, Tim.
Well, I have a son.
Sure.
So I got a 6-month-old son, Jack. He's about to be 7 months old. So, you know, that's exciting. But, like, he's just my son. I became a parent yesterday, Jess.
Okay.
Arrived in the mail.
Oh.
The Women's Weekly Birthday Cake magazine.
Oh, yes.
I assume after you become a parent in the hospital, they send you all this stuff about, like, here's all the services you can use. And they say, in about 6 months, the Women's Weekly Children's Birthday magazine will come out to you. And that's when it's official. You've got through those first 6 months. You're a parent now.
I have obviously had one for years, Tim.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's so exciting.
As a childless woman, I decided I need to have this in my life.
Haven't we spoke about it? You rephrasing that?
As a barren woman.
Okay. I've always heard about it. I don't think my mum and dad ever
you
had
never
this
did?
Growing up. None of the cakes.
Oh my God.
I was flicking through all
the
them.
The best part of childhood was sitting down a week before the birthday. Mum would be like, pick anything you like. Not that one. That one's too hard. Keep going.
Yeah. A couple of things. I really, like, I went through the entire magazine because, like, my wife ordered it and I was like, this is so fantastic. I know his birthday is still months and months away, but kind of like just starting to look into it, and I'd love to make a cake for his birthday.
Oh, you're going to do the cake?
Well, I'm assuming my wife and I will probably do it together. But like showing all the different ways you can cut it so you're not wasting cake and all these things. A few takeaways that I've got from the Women's Weekly Children's Birthday Cake magazine. Yeah. When was this made?
I feel like at least the late 80s.
I think the 70s.
Could have been earlier.
So a few questionable things. Personally, a lot of licorice.
Yeah.
Licorice is just like, you need something lined, licorice.
Yeah.
You want something to look smick, licorice.
You saw the licorice train.
Yes. The licorice train. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it made sense once it did say the licorice train. A few areas that I was intrigued by, because I'm going through and I'm like, there's like, you can make like sporting fields. So there was like soccer fields, footy fields. There was a cricket one.
My mum made me the swimming pool cake for my hens.
Stunning. Exciting.
Because we had a swimming pool party.
And because he's a little boy, I was looking at some of the little boy cakes and there was like spaceships and there was trucks and there was all these things. And I was just flicking through, like, just to seeing what the entire option was. And there was the girls section. I was like, I'll have a look at the girls. You never know what might be in there.
Women's Weekly have not updated their selection, have they?
Sewing machine. Stovetop.
Stovetop for the women. Oh. What other options do us ladies have, Tim?
I swear I saw a broom and a mop, but I feel like might be something else. But I just thought.
What about the iron cake?
I was a bit surprised.
There's the, you know, obviously the businessman for the men.
And there was a lot of gold bullion designed cakes for the males.
Yeah.
Like CEO kind of wall placards for the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the women's for me was a bit, I was a bit taken aback. I did think maybe an update is on the card.
Jack's first birthday, sewing machine cake.
Yeah,
I kind of like it.
I think...
Hey,
I wasn't around back then. I don't know what was going on.
'70s was a different time.
It was different. We'll probably just do dinosaur though.
Fair enough.
It's good to know that if we have a daughter, that she too can live out her favourite childhood experience of cooking for mum and dad.
Come on! Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.